Good morning. Oh, are you awake? Good morning. On this wonderful Lord's Day here this morning, I want to welcome you to Trinity United Methodist Church. We are thankful and blessed that you have chosen to worship our living Lord Jesus Christ with us here this morning. As we begin this time of praise and worship, if you would, bow your heads and your hearts, and let's open up with a word of prayer here today. Oh, gracious God, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your peace, and we thank you for the honor and the opportunity and the privilege that you have blessed us with to walk with you upon this earth this day. We thank you for the wonder of participating in worshiping you, the living God, the creator of the universe, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And we bless you for all that you are, the God that you are. We bless you for the forgiveness that you have given to us in the sacrifice of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, we invite you into this service. We ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to just touch our hearts, open our minds, and impact our souls, that we might be forever changed, and above all, glorify yourself and bring praise and honor unto you. We commit this service into your care, and we pray all of this in the mighty name of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today, amen. As we stand and get ready to praise our Lord today, let's turn to our neighbor and say, God loves you. As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful sounds today of everybody singing from their heart, Lord. As we know, it touches you, it touches us, Lord, to hear so many people sing such a wonderful song. I'll fly away, Lord. Allow us to just remember that anytime we need something, Lord, we can turn to you and just have that little talk with you. There isn't anything that you won't do for us. Allow us not to judge others, but know when to discern and be able to say things when we need to, Lord. Father, in all things we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now when you feel the prayer will turn in and you know the fire's burning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Then a little light from heaven filled my soul. He bathed my heart in love, and he wrote my name above. Just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now when you feel the prayer will turn in and you know the fire's burning, find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I once had doubts and fears, my eyes were filled with tears. Jesus, a friend who watched me day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now when you feel the prayer returning and you know the fire is burning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now when you feel the prayer returning and you know the fire's burning, find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Let's sing that one more time for the Lord. Let's sing it out. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now when you feel the prayer returning and you know the fire's burning, find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, allow us to find that little talk with you that makes it right, Lord. Father, because there isn't anything that we haven't done or anything that we will do in the future, by mistake, of course, Lord, that you can't forgive us for, Lord. Allow us to be focused on you and put you first. And when we see stuff that isn't right, let us look at ourselves first, and then we can look at others, Lord, with your discernment, Lord. We thank you for everything because you do love our soul, Lord. Jesus, you are the lover of our soul, and you give us a bright future. In all things we give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay. You set my feet upon the rock. Now I know I love you. I need you. Though my world may fall apart, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay. You set my feet upon the rock. Now I know I love you. I need you. Though my world may fall apart, I'll never let you. you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay. You've set my feet upon the rock. Now I know I love you. I need you. Though my world may fall apart, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. I will worship you until the very end. I will worship you until the very end. As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your only Son to die on that cross for us. And no matter what we've done, we have a bright, bright future. All we need to do is put you first, ask you into our lives, and allow you to do the rest. Lord, let us not measure ourselves against the world. Let us measure ourselves against what you would want us to be. Father, and allow us to discern and know when to say something when we need to say it. And let us not judge others. Father, we ask a special blessing over this church and everyone that's here and those that could not be here. We ask that you bring them back. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Before we continue this time of worship here this morning, I just have a couple brief announcements, actually two announcements. I just sent a clipboard around, and last year we tried something new with Vacation Bible School, and I want to explain what we tried new. We tried having the closing program on the Friday of VBS instead of having it wrap around onto the following Sunday. We had an incredible turnout. I want to say that Anita had numbers of 175 people here, which is tremendous and absolutely wonderful. We have right now, I think we're sitting right at about 100 kids that are pre-registered this year. I think we're at 99, and I just took a message with another, child that has been registered already, So we are anticipating a wonderful week this coming week. So starting tomorrow morning, we will be, here ministering to all of these youth. The clipboards, they are sharing a need that we have here on that Friday. We can't set up for the picnic-style lunch until 11 o'clock Friday morning because of the other activities. And so we are in need of, many hands that make the work light, so to speak, for individuals who are available and willing to come here Friday the 17th and help set up all the tables, set the tables for the families that will be here. Because, friends, this is about reaching out into the community, reaching out to the families of those kids that will be here all week, and that is exactly what it is all about. And so if you are available and you are willing to come on that Friday morning by 11 a.m. to help set up the tables and to help in all of the preparations, we would love to have you here as those clipboards go out. Just sign your name, and then Anita, who is coordinating that, and I believe that you will find again this year, as it was last year, just an awesome, tremendous closing program where the Spirit of God is here and reigning in a powerful and mighty way, and these young lives are being forever changed and impacted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to that end, even if you cannot, come and help, we would like to extend an invitation to all of you to come and to see what a fun, God-filled week the children had at Cave Quest Vacation Bible School. And so please know that as members of Trinity United Methodist Church, you all are invited Friday morning to come and to experience just a bit of what next week will be. Because, friends, if you've ever been a part of VBS, you know that it's just a bit. That week is an awesome week, a tremendous week, and we would love for you all to take part in that. So keep notes of the other announcements in your bulletin. And the last announcement for Vacation Bible School, and this you do not have to sign up for. This is just a heart check for you and for me. We covet your prayers for next week. So we ask, and this is an announcement, we ask and we covet for you to pray. And when you're tired of praying, pray again. Pray some more, please. You know, because I'm here to tell you, you know, when you get 100, 120 youth, kids, I don't know, but us adults, we get tired. At least I do. And so please pray. Pray. And just, if you're not here through the week, surround us in prayer. Uplift us in prayer. Uplift the youth in prayer so that their hearts would be right, their hearts would be softened, and they would be receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that is exactly what it's all about. Before we continue, I'm going to invite Rachel to come forward, and she is going to share a testimony of how Vacation Bible School influenced and impacted her.
You give me a room full of adults, I always get really nervous, so bear with me. Kids, awesome. Adults, you guys scare me. probably not everybody knows how I ended up here about 6 years ago, was through Vacation Bible School. And I came on the Sunday after Vacation Bible School because my kids really wanted to go. And so we came, and it was the ship theme. I can't remember what the name of it was, but it was a ship theme. And I remember, you know, how everything was decorated. I remember how much fun the kids all had. But what I remembered more is the grace that was extended to me. Funny thing is, Grace was actually the first one that showed me grace. So coincidence, that was her name. But I had decided even then that I wanted to be a part of the grace and the love that this church showed. And it was true family that I wanted to be a part of. And then next year when Vacation Bible School rolled around, I decided God was pulling my heart to be a part of it. So that's where I had started, and it just continued and continued. And then now it's grown to, you know, now I help direct it, and it's been an awesome impact on my life, because believe it or not, you know, you think that you're giving something to them, the kids, but they're giving so much more to you. And the growth that you feel with God through that week is amazing. I can't even describe it. So I wanted to just invite anyone who has a heart tug to help. You know, you're always welcome, no matter how small you think you can contribute. You know, we have some people that can only contribute one day this year. So even if you're one of those that only has one free day, you're more than welcome to come help. And before I forget, T-shirts have been here. So I have the list. So anyone who after service needs to pick up their shirt, I have it.
Okay. Thank you, Rachel. With that, keep in mind, if you do are able and willing to come on Friday, please note that it's not just coming to help. As Rachel shared, it's coming to share the grace of God, to share the love of Jesus to not just the youth, but to the moms, the dads, the grandparents, the aunts, the uncles who will be here in Trinity United Methodist Church's building. And what an awesome opportunity and privilege. And we would love to have you be a part of that. It's just exciting to me, because I don't know about you, I don't get excited over a whole lot, but sharing the gospel, that fires me up, friends. That fires me up, because that changes their eternal destiny when they receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And that is what we have before us this week: the potential, the opportunity, the privilege, and the honor to change the eternal destiny of men, women, children. And that, my friends, is why we are here on this earth, is to share the love of Christ. Worship is now dismissed. For those that were here in kindergarten through fifth grade, we have a special ministry prepared especially for you. Friends, that's just a small taste of what this next week holds, and there will be much more, and next Sunday we will have more, you know, so that those of you who are unable to make it on Friday will be able to get more of a feel of the ministry of Vacation Bible School. And friends, it is truly, truly an opportunity and a wonder and an immense privilege to minister to these young people, these young kids. Because I don't know, and I said it here before, but I don't know if you realize it or not, the majority of people who receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior do so before the age of 18. And so we're going to have them for a whole week. A whole week. A whole week to pour God's word into their heart. A whole week to change their life, to change their destiny. I don't know about you, but that excites me. That excites me because you change a young, you change the young people, the kids, and you change society. You change the world. You change the next generation, and I want you to hear that. That's what's before us this coming week. Just an awesome, awesome, awesome privilege and opportunity and honor to be in ministry with Jesus, who has called us to do such. And so I invite you, as I mentioned, whether it's on Friday or whether, you know, whatever, praying, please pray. Please pray. You can sit in your living room and pray and still be joined with us. You can put mute on CNN or Fox News or whatever channels you watch, and you can pray. And say, I'm going to, for the next 30 seconds, I'm going to pray for Vacation Bible School. I'm going to lift them in prayer. I'm going to cover them in prayer that they would be strengthened, they would be encouraged, that the hearts of these kids are softened and receive the gospel. And I will get off my soapbox now. I just love kids, you know, and I was one of those, you know, high percentages. When I was 5 years old, I was sitting in a church in between my mom and dad, and a missionary was speaking, and he gave the opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and he just asked people to raise their hand, and I raised my hand, and my life has never been the same ever since. Amen. Never since. And so I understand the impact, and it's been tremendous. It's an opportunity, and it doesn't get any better than this, friends, to walk with Jesus each day. There's nothing better, nothing better. And I want you to hear that. This morning's reading from God's Word we find in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. We'll be reading verses 1 through 12. And if you're utilizing the Pew Bible, you will find this on page 1,505. I will be reading from the New King James Version, so if it's a little different, it will be still having the same meaning. The Gospel of Matthew, a reading, beginning in verse 1 all the way through verse 12 of the 7th chapter. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you into pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask of him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. May God bless the reading of his word. As we continue this time of praise and worship here this morning, if we would give with a portion that God has blessed us with as the ushers come, may we give back what the Lord has given to us.
Glory, hallelujah, well, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, well, I should not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. In his love abiding, well, I shall not be moved. And standing and confiding. Well, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Though the tempest rages, well, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, well, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved.
Eternal, ever-loving Heavenly Father, thank you for the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. As part of those blessings, Father, we've come to your altar this morning and placed our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. This morning we're continuing our series titled Forgiven, and this is kind of a second part to what we talked about last week. Last week we looked at what being critical does, you know, to others, what it does to us, and what God's will is for us. And we talked about judging and what really judging is and what it is not. And in the context that Jesus is saying, judge not, lest ye be judged. Condemn not, lest ye be condemned. He is speaking of the critical heart that we all can get caught up into when we are not forgiving the offenses of others. Throughout my journeys each day and each week and over the last years, I have had many conversations with many people that will literally begin to speak about non-believers and their behaviors and actions and activities, and it's in a critical manner. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying. He's saying, understand where they're at. This morning, the title of the message is, do we ever have the right to judge? Now, before you push back in the pew and begin to say, whoa, wait a minute, you know, you told us last week that we didn't have the right to judge. No, what I said is we don't have the right to be critical, to have that critical spirit. The text that we're going to look at, we read it in a few moments ago. It's Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 12, and it's all about discernment. I know a lot of Christians that are on fire for God. I know a lot of believers who are bold beyond measure. I know a lot of believers who have the wonderful heart, but unfortunately, in America's Christendom, or in the Christian community all across America, there's one glaring, blatant omission that I don't see a whole lot of. And I don't see a whole lot of Christians who are discerning. I'll say that again. I don't see a lot of Christians who are discerning. And God calls you and me to discern. He calls you and me to discern the good from the bad, from truth and falsehood. He calls you and me to discern right from wrong. He calls us to discern that. And friends, that is not being critical. That is calling truth, truth, and that is calling an unrighteous act an unrighteous act. You see, when we get critical, then we begin to attack the person. And as I mentioned last week, we enter into a realm of attacking that person and its character assassination. And that is what God never gives you or me, because we don't know people's hearts. But what he calls you and me to every single day is he calls you and I to discern the actions and the behaviors of another people, of a person. We cannot discern their motive, because motives, they emerge from their heart. And only God knows that person's heart. So God calls you and me to discern. I want to emphasize that. And we need to understand that that is God's heart for us. In the text that we read a few moments ago, he says, judge not, and this is Jesus at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? Now, before we run out these doors and we begin to say, I am discerning the actions and the behaviors of a person who doesn't know Jesus, I want us to understand that God's heart for you and for me is to discern our own hearts. He says, first turn inward on yourself, and that's why I have those lines underlined there. He says, you hypocrite, first turn inward on yourself, discern your own motives. There was a Bible study that I was part of years ago, and it was called the Young Disciples. And disciples stood for dedicated individuals serving Christ, impacting people's lives, explaining salvation. I was part of the leadership of that outreach Bible study. It grew and grew until we had 60 to 80 young people, 18 to 25-year-olds, gathering on a Saturday night to hear God's word. One of the things when the leaders would meet, I would ask all the time, what's our motive? What's our motive? Why are we doing what we're doing? There's been times here at Trinity that I have sat in ministry meetings and I have asked the same question. What is our motive? Why are we doing what we're doing? Why are we doing Vacation Bible School? If it's not to share the gospel, if it's not to share the good news, then our actions are amiss. We are misguided and malaligned, and our motives are wrong. And this is God's heart for you and for me, is to discern your own heart, to discern why you do what you do. And he says, first look inward, the log out of your own eye. If you're not discerning of your own heart, you're not going to be discerning anywhere else. Because you will live a life that is deluded, and you will be delusional in your actions and your behaviors. You will live a life that is just a life that it's all out there, and there is no anchor for your soul, for your being. There is no solidity. There's no foundation of truth. And this is why Jesus says, first discern where you are at. First look at your heart. Look at your life. First discern. And discernment, friends, is a determination. It's a determination of what is what. It's a determination of why I am doing what I am doing. It's a determination of, should I be involved in blank? Should I be involved in whatever I'm involved in? Should I do whatever I'm doing? That's discernment. And we're going to get to the measure that we discern it against, the plumb line, so to speak, the rule of thumb. We're going to get to that here in a moment. And he says, then you will see clearly to take. You see, if we don't discern our hearts, our motives, our own desires, if we don't discern that, then we see through our own eyes. When we discern through the eyes of God and we discern our hearts, our motives, our intentions, when we discern all of that that is in our lives, in our soul, then we begin to see through God's eyes, friends. Hear that. When we fail to discern, we see through our own eyes and we see the failures, the faults, the flaws, the behaviors, the actions of other people. When we discern our hearts, and when we check our motives against the living God's word, the scriptures, the Bible, then we have this shift go on. And it says if scales fall off of our eyes and we begin to see, not through our own fleshly eyes, but we see through the eyes of God. So it begins with discerning ourselves. And I want you to hear this, because Jesus doesn't stop there. And he says, you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Then he goes on. And he says, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. What is Jesus saying here? In Jesus' day, there were dogs, and they were snarling, they were greedy. When we went to Mexico, we saw dogs along the street everywhere. These dogs in Jesus' day, they were greedy, they were vicious, they would snarl, they would show their teeth. Jesus isn't talking about the dogs that we have for pets. He's talking about people. And I don't know about you, but I have shared the gospel with people from time to time over the course of the last several years, and people have gotten just absolutely irate with me because I failed to discern. I failed to discern where their heart was. I failed to discern my own heart. And I went to them with an agenda. And albeit that the agenda was great in sharing the gospel, if they are not ready, friends, and that's why I ask and I covet your prayers for Vacation Bible School. The scripture tells us that no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws them. And the only way to God the Father is through Jesus. And so we need to pray and pray and pray and pray. And then Jesus is saying, don't waste your time on those people who are not ready to hear the gospel. And that's what he's saying. Do not give dogs. Do not give the people who are greedy, snarling, that are going to use what you're going to give them. The holiness, the sacred. And friends, you are holy. You are sacred. God has made you holy by the power of the Holy Spirit, that he has sealed you for later redemption. He has set you apart for his use and for his purpose in this world. I want you to hear that. He doesn't want you to take what he has made you to be, holy, sacred, for his intent, for his purposes, and just to go throw it around everywhere that you want? No, because then when we do that, we get discouraged, we get frustrated because we see no fruit, we see no evidence, and we're sitting there and we're saying, well, it doesn't do me any good to share the gospel, I can't lead anybody to Christ. Anyway, do you know how many times people have said that to me? And I respond the same way every day. Every time someone says it, you're right, you can't. The Spirit has to draw them. The Spirit of God has to be at work in their life. And the technical theological term is prevenient grace. And it's this grace that God is drawing and wooing and pulling these people toward himself. And when we see that evidence in their life, then we share. And those times, friends, that I've shared the gospel, you will see tears of repentance. You will see evidence of a soft heart, of people saying, that's what I want. That's what I want. I don't care what I have to do to get it. Tell me, how can I have what you have in my life? And that is what we are called. And it all starts with discernment. You see, God has given you and me such a wonderful gift, a gift of himself, the Holy Spirit of God, who is God. And I want you to hear that. You have God living inside of you. So that when he redeems you and takes you to heaven, he knows who is his own. He knows that you're a son, you're a daughter, you are his child. And because of that, he gives you the opportunity and the privilege and the honor to partner with where he wants you to work. And that is why Jesus says, do not give dogs what is holy. And do not throw what is holy and sacred to the most unholy. Don't waste your time. Because if God isn't working in their heart, mind, and soul, it's going to come to no effect anyway. And it will be worse because you and me, we will feel frustrated. We will feel discouraged. We will feel like, you know, why? Why did I even share this? Because, friends, God hasn't made them ready yet. He hasn't worked in their heart yet enough so that their heart is pliable, their heart is soft. And one of the hardest things for us to do, and I'm here to tell you, I have family members that are not believers in Christ, and I've had to see them and watch them go through difficulties and do things and experience things that they had no business experiencing. This is one of the most difficult things that you or I will ever have to do, to discern. Once we discern our motive, our intent, and we're going to get into how do we discern? How do we look at this? And we're going to see the pivotal anchor for our discernment. This right here is difficult. And anybody that says it's not difficult, I would tell them, you need to go back in your prayer closet and you need to discern your own heart once again. Because if you don't look at them through the eyes of God and grieve over their lostness and the condition that their spirit is in and their soul, then you are looking through your own fleshly eyes. And I would tell them, and I tell people that, because that's where we have to get. We have to grieve. A.B. Simpson, the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance, the story is told that he would be seen sitting in his office with a globe, and he would be in tears, tears running down his face, dripping onto his desk, and he would be spinning the globe slowly and thinking of the people the lostness of the condition of their heart and soul. And that's where we need to get, friends. We need to grieve over their lostness, and we got to stop looking at the actions and behaviors and the condition over their heart, mind, and soul. That is the heart of Christ, and that is the heart that sent Jesus to the cross. And when we get there, then we will understand that we will not be needing to give to dogs, give to those who are unholy, those who are not in the family of God, what God has given to you. Because sometimes when we do that, we actually do those people a disservice. I have a family member that last time that I talked with them, they mentioned Scripture multiple verses, and they scoffed at it. And here's the reason why. Because I have other family members that went and they just browbeat her, and they just kept sharing and sharing and sharing and trying to strong-arm her into the family of God. And friends, they would have been better off if they would have went home, shut the door on their prayer closet, and prayed for her. I want you to hear that. We do a disservice to people if God hasn't made them ready to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so you might be sitting there asking, how do we discern? The first thing is we discern our own motives. Why are we doing what we're doing? The second thing is we need to discern others. If we could go on to the next slide. The first thing that we discern through is through prayer. It might be no shock, but we discern through prayer. Jesus said, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. And then he goes on and explains that. How much more of a good God, that God is good. When you ask for something, basically, will he not give you what is good? The answer is an emphatic yes. God will give you that. And so when we have those in our lives that we love and we care about, those friends, those strangers that we cross paths with, this is where we need to start. We have to start on our knees. We have to start in our prayer time. We have to start by speaking to God on their behalf. And yet many times in our own lives, you know what we're tending to do? We fail to do this, and we quickly run. We quickly run to that person and say, let me tell you the gospel, let me tell you the good news. And we haven't even given the living God, the loving Lord Jesus, time to send his Holy Spirit to soften their heart, mind, and soul. And this is how we discern others. If you and I are not praying, if you and I are not spending time in our prayer closet praying for people, in our lead team, we have a top five. And for years, I had a top 10, a top 5 of people in our lives that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. For years, John Saucier and I, we would, serve with Baseball Chapel. We created this top 10 list of people, and we committed to pray for them every day on the phone. We prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed. And that year that John Saucier and I worked, we saw incredible fruit. And I'm here to tell you that I firmly believe, had we not committed that time in prayer, we wouldn't have seen the fruit that we saw. The bulk of the year, we had 25, 26 people. And if you're familiar with baseball, that's pretty much the whole team in chapel. Now you have to realize that in a minor league club, they're always worried about, okay, if I want to move up the ranks, who's going to watch me? Who's going to look at me going to chapel? And then they're inclined not to go because they don't want to be labeled a certain way. They don't want to be stigmatized in a certain way. And they say, I would be better off not going because I want to make it to the major leagues. And because John and I prayed, we prayed, we prayed, we prayed, we prayed. And then when we got tired of praying, we prayed some more. And we were able, and we asked, and God gave it to us. We sought his face, and we found. We knocked, and he opened up doors, incredible doors, doors that we could not have opened on our own. If you have ever gone into a clubhouse in a major league ball club, it's a different world, friends. It's a different world. They can boot you out. They can throw you out at the drop of a hat. And we had all access. John and I, they said, whenever you want to come in here, and the manager wasn't even a believer. Go figure. Go figure that. The manager, it wasn't like God put a believer in to be the manager of that ball club. The manager was a pagan. He was a non-believer, but because we asked, God delivered. Because we sought him, we found where he was saying, you guys go and you work over here. And we didn't mess around working in an area because that's what it's all about. That God wasn't ready for you and I to work in. That's discernment. It's discerning others through prayer, through God's eyes. And we first discern. We determine where our hearts are at. And then we discern others, not through our own eyes. Hear that. Because you're not helping the cause of Christ any when you do that. I am not either. We discern through the eyes of God. You ask, you seek, you knock, and then God will give, and we will receive, and we will find, and those doors will be opened to us. The promise is this, friends. How much more, we go back, will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? You see, this is a connection. When we fail to ask God for what is on our heart, we minimize the sacrifice of Christ. I want you to hear that. We're essentially saying that I can do this on my own. And Jesus, you didn't need to come to the earth. You didn't need to come to give your life for me. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, we have a way back to God the Father. And it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ that we truly can ask. And it's in his name, and that's why we pray in Jesus' name. Because he is the mediator. He is the one who bridged the gap between a holy God and a sinful people. And when we are in Christ, we are united with the holy God. And so when we fail to ask, we minimize the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. When we pray, we maximize what God has done for us in the sacrifice of Christ. So we discern ourselves. We determine where our motives are at, where our heart is at. We discern others through prayer, through God's word. There are many things in this world that are just messed up. And I am shocked at how many Christians are just being gobbled up by it. And it's just gobbling them up because they are not spending time in prayer. They're not spending time in God's word. And so they have nothing to balance them out, and they do not discern. And that's why the world is going the way that it is. But our call is this, friends. This is our call. Many of you may know that this is the golden rule. And this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, therefore, whatever you want people to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. This is our call. I know that there were times in my life that I was way walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have no doubt in my mind that I had family members that were praying for me. Hear that. What do I want people to do for me? I want people to pray, and that's why I get up every morning and I spend a great deal of time in prayer. How do you want people to treat you? Critically or in love? If you want them to treat you critically, then go out these doors and be critical. If you want them to treat you with love, then be loving to them. If you need grace in your life, then be graceful to others. You see, that's our call. Our call is this. How do we want God to treat us? How do we want others to treat us? And how that is, that's where we need to move forward in those actions, behaviors. There are times in my life where I need a good friend, a good brother in the Lord to pull me aside and say, you know what, Max? Hey, you need to be thinking about this. Do I want that in my life? You betcha. I need that in my life. So therefore, I need to be ready to answer the call when God puts it on my heart, mind, and soul to go to that other person and say, hey, I care enough about you to speak this to you. And when you do that and you find no joy in going to someone else and speaking that to them, you will find the response to be totally different. Friends, this is all about forgiveness. And this is how it's all about forgiveness. It's all about the sacrificial death of Jesus. It's all about what he bought and purchased for you and for me, and what we have at our disposal, what we have at our fingertips. It's all about that, and it starts with discerning ourselves. Oh, Lord, let me see what's in my heart, oh God. Let me determine what's inside of me before I even begin to move outward into the actions, behaviors, and others. Oh, God, I pray for so-and-so. I pray for this person. I pray for that person. I pray you would soften their heart. I pray if it's not me, Lord, that you would bring another across their path to share the gospel to them. I love them so much. I want what's best for them. I want them to receive you as their Lord and Savior. That's discerning others. That's discerning yourself. And then discerning our commitment and where we are at is the call for you and me to determine, do my actions measure up to what God's asking me to do? It's not about what people do or don't do. It's not about that. It's about their heart. It's about their heart. And only God judges the heart. You nor I, we see the externals. God sees the internal. We don't understand. And therefore, we must tap into the living Lord through prayer, through reading of his word, to judge and determine the actions and the behaviors of others. But before we do that, we better get on our knees. We better. And then we will live the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you, in such a way that you will be agents of grace, mercy, peace, love, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. And those, my friends, are all aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. You will be agents of grace in the world, and you will see fruit happen in your life that you never realized could ever happen ever before. That's what this is all about. It's about taking what God has given to you, taking you being made holy in Christ Jesus and moving outward and walking in his footsteps and not walking in your own strength, power, or your own might. It's about praying for this world, this fallen world, this dark, dark world, and being the light and shining that light where God has called you to shine it. And if he hasn't called you to shine it in a certain place, you have no business being there. You have no business sharing the gospel. And yes, I said that. There are times I've been talking with people and the Spirit of God has said, oh, keep your mouth shut. And then later on, he will bring me back to that person and I will share the gospel. You see, until God prepares the heart, and that's why I say pray for VBS. Pray. Lord, prepare the hearts of these kids for your gospel message. Soften their hearts. And the reason is that many kids come to Christ is this, is because they aren't jaded by this crazy world. They're not hardened by the world. They're pliable. They're soft. They're able to be taught the truths, and they receive them. And that's why Jesus says, unless you come as a little child, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. That's why, friends, and that's discernment, discerning your heart, discerning the hearts of others and the behaviors and their actions, and then walking in step in unison to where God has called you and me. Then you will see fruit. Then and only then. You omit prayer, and you will see nothing but a train wreck. I've experienced it in my own life, and I've come to realize before I go, before I leave the house, I have this crazy rule. Before I leave the house, I'm not going to leave until I spend time with Jesus. It's not going to happen, friends. People want to meet with me at these crazy hours in the morning, and I look at them and I say, no, no, because that means that I'm getting up at 2 or 3 in the morning to spend time with Christ, and that's not going to happen, friends. I like to sleep. I want my sleep, all right? It's not going to happen. It's just not, because that's my rule, and we all need to adopt a similar rule like that, to discern our own heart through the eyes of God, through his eyes, to discern the actions and behaviors of the Lord. There's a friend of mine, and I close with this. His name's Bruce Wilkinson, and he is not the author. He is not the famous Bruce Wilkinson. He started a parachurch ministry in Ashland, Ohio. That's where I went to seminary, in Ashland Theological Seminary. He has this worker retraining program. And basically, once people have been released from prison, they go there, and he teaches them a skill. He teaches them a trade to get them up on their feet so that they will be a productive member of society. One of the things that when he spoke with me not too long ago, several years ago, but he basically told me, he says, you know, what we fail to realize is that sometimes people just don't know. You see, I get up and I take care of my hair and I make sure that I'm presentable, right? I was taught that. I was blessed to be taught that as I grew up. Many times people just don't know. And when he said that, I have never forgot that. And here's the reason why I've never forgot it, is because sometimes we will see young people, we will see people walking the streets, and I've seen them here in Gibsonburg. And I've seen people, you know, from where I come from, there was a whole lot more of them there than there are here. And you look at them, and immediately you're tempted to look at them and say, why don't you dress a little bit better?
Why don't you just comb your hair? Friends, maybe they just don't know. And so before we judge their actions, before we enter into that critical spirit, because that is what judging is, we need to get to know them as a friend. We need to get to know them as a person. And moreover, and this is really the call, we need to get to know them as one who has been created in the image of God and a stamp bearer of the living Lord, because that is exactly what they are as we are. We are the crown of creation and they are too. And we must stop looking at their externals and look at their heart. We've got to do that. And when we do that, we will see the fruit. The gospel will go forth in a powerful and a mighty way, in such a tremendous way. And that, my friends, is what God wants for you. That's what he wants for me. That's what he wants for Trinity United Methodist Church. And he wants us. Whatever you want people to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Whatever we want for us, let us do to them. I need people to pray for me. I want people to pray for me. And so I pray for people. I need people to speak truth and love to me. I want people to speak truth and love for me, to me. And so I speak truth in love. It's about I need the grace of God. I shared that with somebody else. Actually, at the service on Friday, I called one of the individuals, I called him by the wrong name. And he just laughed it off. I said, thank you for your grace. He thought I was joking. I'm not joking. I'm serious. I am an imperfect person. I need more grace than probably what you all do. But I need that. And I got to give grace to others if I want to receive the grace of Christ Jesus. And I'm going to stop right here. I think we get the whole point. Do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you, O Christ, that you have given us access to the Holy Father, the living Lord, God, who is adopted us, has adopted us into his family. We thank you, O Christ, for bridging that gap and being that mediator and being the one who brings us to God. Your word tells us that no one comes to the Father unless it's by Christ Jesus. And no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws them. And so, Father, may we be people of discernment. May we discern our own motives first, and then may we discern where you're leading us through prayer. May we see not with our own eyes, but with the eyes of you, with your eyes, O God. May we see souls and not people. May we see image bearers and those people who have been stamped with you, because that's what they are. So, Father God, we thank you for the privilege, the honor, the grace that you extend to each one of us. We bless you now, O Lord. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord and coming King, we pray. Amen.
So grateful for the grace that God's given us. If you need anything from the Lord today at all, know these altars are open because we serve a great and mighty God.
The splendor of the King, he's clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, in darkness tries to hide. And trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God, sing with me. How great is our God, and I will see how great, how great is our God. Stands. And time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three with me how great is our God. And all will see how great, how great.
Here this morning, I just want to briefly announce there are still some decorations that need to be put up. If you have some extra time here after the service this morning, we would invite you to stick around and just be a part of that. You can see Charlene or Rachel in the back for that. So we invite you to be a part in whatever way you are able today. As we go forth, may the good Lord bless you and keep you. May he truly anoint you with his goodness, his peace, his love, his mercy, and his grace. And may he find you as people of prayer, discerning your own hearts, and discerning where he is leading you to, you know, minister on his behalf. And may you and may I do unto others as we would want others to do unto us. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I go in peace. Amen.
I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, well, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. In his love abiding, well, I shall not be moved. And in him confiding, well, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Though the tempest rages, well, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, well, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Tempest rages, well, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, well, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Glory, hallelujah, well, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, well, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not.